We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected.
Good morning and welcome. Wear these masks as we're moving about, and then we take them off so we can hear our voices a little bit clearer. Welcome as we come to worship here in St. Columba's Deravulgi this morning. It's our second Sunday back in person, so thank you very much for those who have made it here this morning. But we also welcome those who are joining us online and are participating in our service at the same time as we gather together here, but as we scatter together across the parish as one community of believers gathered under God. My name's James. I'm going to be taking part in the service today, shall we say? but we also want to welcome Sarah with us today. Sarah's going to be leading us through most of our service today. Sarah comes as our new, brand spanking new deacon intern. He isn't even quite as a deacon yet. That's happening next Sunday. So we pray for Sarah this week as she prepares to be ordained in the Church of God next Sunday. But Sarah's joining us for the rest of this year, not only on Sundays, but participating in the life of our church and community throughout the week as well. So Sarah, you're really welcome amongst us. But will you read Psalm 117 over us as we begin this morning? Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you people, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. God's faithfulness endures forever. There's a piece of scripture that says, even if we are unfaithful, God cannot deny himself. He remains faithful. So let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you that you're the one who is faithful, that your promises are right and proper. In this place today, we thank you that you are present with us and that your presence with us will extol our praise in this place. In your name, amen.
It's such a pleasure to be with you this morning and officially start. But we begin our service this morning. We've come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive his holy word, to pray for our needs and the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may receive ourselves to the service of God. We confess together, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our appointed psalm for today is Psalm 149, and we're going to say this in alternate verse. So I will say the odd numbers, and you can say the even numbers, and everything will be up on the screen for you to follow. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tremble and harp.
For the Lord takes delight in his people, he crowns the humble with victory.
Let his faithful people rejoice in his honour and sing for joy on their beds. To inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples.
To bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron.
To carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord. James has asked me this morning to do the children's talk. And I know there aren't many children inside the building this morning, but kids, if you're at home, I want you to give your ears a little bit of a wiggle because we've something really important to look at today. Now, I don't know about you, but I felt really, really sad when we couldn't go to the church building. But it's important to know that the thing that makes our church special isn't actually the building itself. The church, the real church, is the people inside the building, not the actual building. You've maybe heard the little rhyme that goes like this. Here is the church, here is the steeple, open the doors and see all the people. But that gets a little bit wrong because the church isn't the building. What do you think of whenever you hear the word church? Maybe you think of this big, grand-looking building, or maybe you think of stained glass windows. But when I think of the word church, I think of a group of people. Now, the Bible says that church is actually not a building. It's the people, all the people who believe in Jesus. In fact, when the very first church was formed, they didn't have a building. They met in people's houses. And we refer to the very first churches as the early church. And it's recorded in this book of Acts, as the adults are going to be looking at later. And they gathered together and they heard teaching. They shared food together and they prayed together. And they met in one place and shared everything that they had. They heard people teach about Jesus. We do that. They spent time together as friends, we do that. And they worshipped God together, and we still do that today. And it says that God added to their number daily those who were going to believe in him, and this is what caused the church to grow so big. Although the Bible was written a really, really long time ago, the things described in Acts still happen today. Now, on my very first day, I want to start as I mean to go on. So I have a present to give to James. So James, if you want to come up, I have a present for you. So here you go.
They're mine. Can I sit down and have some now?
You can open them. By all means, do open them.
Excellent. Thank you. Start as you mean to go on.
There's nothing inside your present that I gave you.
Thank you, Andy.
So James got all excited when I gave him the box, but it wasn't the box that mattered. It's what's inside that what James is actually wanting. I do have something to give to you so that you're not too disappointed. But in the same way, it's the church building that doesn't matter. What's important is the people that are inside. The people that are inside is what makes the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. So kids, if you're at home, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your church, not just the buildings, but the people. And we thank you that we learn about it in your word. And Father, as we go throughout our day, as we go throughout our weeks, as we go to school, we pray that you would just challenge us to question what the church is, that we are the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Karen, for reading that for us this morning. We're going to try to continue to do is to have some of our service pre-recorded as we meet here in person as well. So if you think you would like to be a part of those readings, please do let me know and we can get that lined up for you as well. We start a new series today for the next number of weeks called You Are the Church. Over the last, we were out of the building for 23 weeks. The gremlins are here in the microphone again. It just seems to be me. It was me last week, no matter what microphone I touched. And Sarah said, good morning, but every time, is it where I stand? Is it what I'm doing? Is it, no, just keep blathering? Okay. There's muted hand signals coming from the back. So over 23 weeks, we were out of the building. And in one sense, over those number of weeks, we had lots of stuff online, lots of little video clips, lots of little moments where we were trying to inspire us to continue to be a community and to hold it together, where we had different faces sharing different things. And over those weeks, I noticed in conversations with people, whether that was on the phone or whether you bumped into someone at the shop, that the conversation was about church being the people rather than the building. And how we could continue to be the church in our community. And so whenever we get back into the building, I thought it might be good to look at what is the church, that we are the church for a number of weeks, and what impact that has on us now that not only our buildings are reopening and life is coming back to this place, but actually that we continue to do what we've been doing out there in the streets that we live in. It's the building versus the church. It's the community versus the congregation. It's depth versus growth. Let me try to explain that just a little bit to tease it out. The buildings are really good. It's really good to have a building where we can gather together to not only to do this on a Sunday, but to do lots of other things during the week. That's a wonderful resource to have and absolutely brilliant. But it's only as good as those of us who are here using it to its fullest potential. It's good to talk about being a part of a community, being part of a congregation, but that's only as good as how much time and effort we invest into it, how much we look out for each other, how much time we spend having conversation with each other, how much time we spend kind of poking and prodding each other a little bit further on the journey with God. Yes, we can grow physically in numbers, but to grow deep and put down roots in God's word and in a community of faith is really what the church is about. And the early church is our model. You see, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. That's more than a passive action. That's more than a fleeting thought. That's not just, oh, it might be good to go to church this Sunday. Oh, it might be good if I give somebody a phone call. They devoted themselves. They were sold out. They were all in. Everything that they had, their focus, their primary reason for living was what followed in these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching is whenever the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, opened God's word and taught them how to be the church. Remember, Jesus said that he would establish his church and the gates of Hades or hell would not prevail against it. And here we are, over 2,000 years, still going. God's word, the teaching that has been handed down to us historically and faithfully over many years, is vital as we devote ourselves to being the church. It's our boundary. It's our guide. It's our rule book. It's where we find who we are and what we are to do. Not only did they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, but to fellowship. They looked out for each other. They made sure each other was okay. In fact, they sold everything that they had to make sure that each was okay. One of the things that we found whenever we came here almost 2 years ago, now it doesn't feel like that, maybe it feels longer for you. You know, one of the good things about just having a camera was you didn't react to things. No, it's good to have reaction back again, actually. It's good to have life back again in the building. The warmth of reception, invitation and welcome that we received in this place. And the warmth and welcome that you give to other people whose faces appear new here is amazing. And there are a few people who are newer faces are sitting nodding their heads at the moment. How we look out for each other and how we look out for our friends and our neighbours will speak volumes into your community. In fact, it'll speak more than words. That's nothing new. We've heard that before. But it's a reminder today that we devote ourselves to God's word, to his teaching, and to the fellowship, to looking out for each other, to the breaking of bread, to Holy Communion. That's not something that we've been able to do for quite a while, and we may not do for a few more weeks. But in that moment of breaking bread, what is that all about? It's about remembering the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what they devoted themselves to, that in their daily living and in their daily walk, they remembered the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in that comes the power that we need to be the church. Because we don't carry ourselves then, we carry his presence into our situations. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The prayer meeting is often described as the Cinderella of the church, the forgotten sister. How do we pray? How do you pray individually in your homes or as families? How do we pray as a church? How do you play your part in participating in that? And what happens whenever we put all of these essentials, if you like, because these are the essentials of the church, the teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayer. What happens whenever you put these essentials together? Well, look at verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Things began to happen. What happens whenever the church grows and the gospel is at its core? Well, verse 44 tells us that all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to each as they needed. What happens whenever the gospel principles are lived out, whenever these essentials are lived out? Well, that tells us in verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It was natural that more people wanted to be a part of that community because it was an attractive place to be. It was a place where God's hand was at work. Whenever we take the essentials of the church, they devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Whenever we take these essentials, then we see God at work. And that starts with you and me, preacher included, in the quiet moments, in the unseen moments. It starts whenever we allow our voices and our actions to become louder in our family, in our street, in our school, in our workplace, in our place of social rest. Work whenever we show and share who Jesus is and what he has done for us, being his hands and his feet in this community. Our hearts burn for Jesus. And that's more than some kind of passive action. Just like the apostles and the early church, they devoted themselves. In 1859, there was a revival in the island of Ireland, both north and south. Now, like all good things, that revival started in the Promised Land. It started in a little schoolhouse in a village called Kells. Have you ever heard of Kells before? Not much until I arrived here, sure you didn't. We've heard a lot about it since. There's been a lot documented about that revival. What is revival? Revival is that moment where there's an unprecedented move of God. In the 1859 revival, churches were so full that they had to build extensions. Ministers were so tired because there was queues outside their manses and their rectories inquiring of the things of God day and night. Whole classes in schools were falling on their knees because God appeared to them and they knew they needed to get right with him. One of the documentations is a book called Heaven Came Down, written by a guy called John Weir. I'll only read a little part of this to us today. In September 1857 was commenced in a little schoolhouse near Kells and Connor, County Antrim. The Believers' Fellowship consisted at first of four young men, John Wallace, James McQuillan, Robert Carlyle, and Jeremiah Manili. Two first mentioned had lately removed from Ballymena, where some short time previously they'd seen themselves and been found by their Saviour. The special object of their society was prayer, that God would bless the preaching of the gospel in the Connor congregation and their own labours and those of others in connection with the prayer meeting and Sabbath schools throughout the district. Bear with me. Society soon ceased to be a secret one, and slowly one kindred spirit after another was introduced on the recommendation of some of the original members. For a few months they had to walk by faith. The seed, however, was not long cast upon the waters till the tide ebbed and the tender blade sprung up. They wrestled on. They prevailed. Surely when God's set time has come, when he intends signally to answer prayer, he disposes the supplicant to plead and with growing anxiety to plead and plead on until the blessing is secure. This gracious revival extended from the parish of Kells and Connor to that of Ahuckle, the Port Lanoan, round by Tully, Largy, Grange, Strade, Slat, Gilgorm Park, Calladers, Clochwater. I was actually slipping into the proper tongue there too. Nor is it yet to be shown any symptom of decline. On the contrary, it is moving on with an amazing power. Every day and almost every hour is bringing tidings of conviction. The interest is more and more awakening and extending. This means by which this blessed work is carried on are in no way extraordinary. Prayer and praise, the reading of God's word, plain, pointed, solemn, earnest appeals to the conscience of the heart, set down from heaven, are the only means that they are to be resorted. They are within the reach of every congregation and every religious community. As to the human agency by which this revival has begun and continues to be extended, it is not through the ministers of the churches alone or even chiefly. The earnest and faithful preaching of the word may have been the preparation in some degree, but the chief and honoured agents of the work that are converted themselves, not indeed schooled in human learning, but taught of God. Very many of them have gifts of utterance and prayer and exhortation and powerful instruments for good. Speaking from what they feel, they have great power in awakening a slumbering soul. The humble agent can be multiplied to any extent and in any locality. Their honour and success lie in this. They are fellow workers with God. The disciples were unskilled and ordinary men. They devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer, and the church arrived. In 1859, four unskilled and ordinary men met to pray, and this land was changed forever. In 2020, will the ordinary people in this place be the agents of change that God desires? It starts with you and me, and it ripples from there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are an extraordinary God who calls ordinary people. That we are simply ordinary people worshiping an extraordinary God. Oh, that our words, our actions, and our devotions would so rend the heavens that you would come down again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord of the church, we thank you that you give us the privilege of being called your church. A title that we don't deserve, yet nonetheless you freely give us. As we learn through our new sermon series, we pray that by your Spirit, your word would speak to each of us. Equip us to be your hands and feet in a needy world. May we question daily what you require of us, and through every action, every word spoken from our mouths, may we glorify you. May we, the church, the people of God, proudly proclaim your truth, your love, and your open arms for all. God of health and wholeness, we thank you for the ministry of Jesus towards the sick, demonstrating that you want us to be well enough to live the abundant life your Son promised. We think with gratitude of the skill and dedication of doctors, nurses, healthcare assistants, pharmacists, but we pray also for managers, researchers, porters, cleaners, and cooks, that they may be sustained, rewarded, and encouraged in the tasks that they undertake. We bring to mind anyone that we know who occupies these roles. God, our healer and sustainer, We pray for all those who are sick, whether at home or in hospital, remembering Eileen. Lord, grant to those with ill health strength for each new day. May they be awakened to a sense of your love and strength in challenging times. We pray that according to your good and perfect will, you would bring them strength and healing. Lord of life and death, we give thanks that as the people of God, death has no sting, for you have conquered the grave. We pray for those grieving the loss of a loved one, whether recent or many years ago. Be with them in their loneliness and comfort them in their sorrow. Grant them courage and strength to seek your will and faith, to look beyond their present distress to Jesus, the one who conquered death and lives forevermore. Father, we thank you for the gift of children, and we bring our children before you for blessing. Help us to be sensitive to their needs as they return to school and education, as some move on to higher education and perhaps even leave home. We pray that you would sustain them. We pray for their teachers, their educators, and all who guide them, that they would know the strength of your presence watching over them and caring for them. Eternal God and Father, we pray for those entrusted with the responsibility of government in this land. Grant them strength for each new day. When difficult decisions have to be made, may they seek your will. Help them to love mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly before you. Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. And we end our prayers together by saying the prayer together that the Father once taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
As we begin to draw those, just a few couple of things. Doesn't even make sense. Just a couple of things before we finish today. There's a cleaning rota. Thank you to those who have put their names forward for helping with the new cleaning regime of the church to keep us all safe. If you've put your name forward, please speak to Stuart or get your hands on a rota to make sure you know when you're on for that. And I'm sure there's still space if you wish to be a part of that. There is a festival meeting coming up on Monday week for those who are a part of that. So please put that in your diary as well. As I said, Sarah will be ordained next week, so please do remember her in your prayers. She'll be with us next Sunday morning as well, so we'll get to pray with her then before that happens in the afternoon. It is an invitation-only service at this stage, so the support as we would love to as a parish at that, but our prayers will go with you for it. And one last thing. Our children's ministry isn't happening in person at the moment. And so one of the things that we're looking to do is to do Deira Volghi Kids. And so we're going to pilot a scheme on a Friday night at 6:30 for about 30 minutes where our children can come online into a safe environment online where we will do some things with them. There are some videos, stories, teaching and some good games and all of that sort of stuff. So if you know any primary school children who could be a part of that, please visit our website. You'll find more details about that there and sign up details. And if you're a parent, you'll, over the next couple of days, you'll get an email probably from myself or someone to say that that's happening and here are the
details that you need if you want to participate in it. But please do spread the word about that and pass it on whenever we put it out there on our Facebook and on our website as well. Thank you. Today, you will, after we... I've lost my word. Pronounce the benediction, that's it. You'll be please leave from the front seats out through the side door. It will be fantastic. So may the God of hope fill you with peace as you trust in him. May the hope overflow out of you by the power of the Holy Spirit and the moments of joy that you have this week. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest with each one of you this day. Amen.